Justin Roberts is the co-founder of an incredible company. It's called Kickfin. You may know Kickfin because they've been a longtime sponsor of this show. They also were one of the sponsors of the P3 Profitability Summit that we hosted in July down in St. Louis. So for those of you who are listening who were down in St. Louis, you got to know Justin really well. He was there. He took the stage. He was on our panel. He's an incredible guy who loves this industry just so much and has created a company that exists actually to help independent operators and owners. He's going to talk about the company that he founded and what they do. But more than that, he gets to peek behind the curtain of thousands and thousands of different restaurants from all over the country. And he's going to share what he's learned. All of that on today's episode of Restaurant Strategy. There's an old saying that goes something like this. You'll only find three kinds of people in the world. Those who see, those who will never see, and those who can see when shown. This is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast with answers for anyone who's looking. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. My name is Chip Close and this is Restaurant Strategy, a podcast dedicated to helping you build a more profitable restaurant. Each week I leverage my two decades in the industry to help you build that more profitable and sustainable business. I also work directly with owners and operators from all over the country in my P3 Mastermind program. So this is a group coaching format specifically geared toward restaurant owners who struggle with profitability, right? So they've been around for a while, generating a lot of revenue, as I say, making a lot of hungry people happy, but they just struggle to generate that consistent, predictable 20% profit. I can show you how. If you're interested in learning more about the program, no pressure, set up a free call with someone from my team. Go to restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule. You'll grab time on the calendar. We'll get to learn more about you and your restaurant. You'll get to learn about the program, ask questions about what we do and how we do it, and let's see if you're a good fit. Again, go to our website, restaurantstrategypodcast.com/schedule, and yes, that link is in the show notes. Now, thousands of restaurants across the country use Kickfin to send instant cashless tip payouts directly to their employees' bank accounts the second their shift ends. It's a really simple solution to a really big problem. Because let's face it, paying out cash tips to your workers day after day, shift after shift, can be kind of a nightmare. Tedious tip distribution takes managers away from work that matters. It's hard to track payments, which leads to accounting and compliance headaches. Plus, cash tip outs create the perfect opportunity for theft. And there's never enough cash on hand to pay out those tips, so managers are constantly making bank runs. Bottom line, there's never been a secure, efficient way to tip out until now. Meet Kickfin. Kickfin is an easy-to-use software that sends real-time, cashless tip payouts straight to your employees' bank accounts 24/7, 365. Tipping out with Kickfin gives managers and operators hours back in their day, it makes reporting a breeze, and it protects your business from mistakes and theft. And guess what? Employees love it, so it's one of the best recruiting tools out there. Best of all, restaurants can have Kickfin up and running overnight. Employees can enroll in seconds, no hardware, no contracts, no setup fees. Get in touch today for a personalized demo and see how restaurants and bars across the country are tipping out with Kickfin. Visit kickfin.com/demo, and yes, that link is in the show notes. So my guest on today's show is Justin Roberts. Justin is the co-founder of a company called Kickfin, which might sound familiar because they've been a partner of this podcast for a very, very long time. I've been on stage with them at trade shows at FS Tech just recently last year. I have them on this show because I believe in this product. I think it really helps independent restaurants. I think it helps independent restaurants build better relationships with their staff, their employees, which just means making for a better guest experience. We're going to talk about the product. We're going to talk about all they've been working on. Mostly, though, the best part about these interviews is that we get industry experts, people who work very, very closely with a lot of different kind of places, and they get to peek behind the curtain of a lot of different restaurants, and they can bring us some insights, some expertise, some knowledge that we wouldn't otherwise get. And so that's my goal. That's the whole purpose of today's episode. But first, in order to get any of that wisdom or insight, we got to welcome this guy to the show. Justin, it's good to have you.
Pleasure to be here, my friend. Great to see you.
Listen, I love it. Every time we end up in a room together, we have a good time. Yeah. I appreciate you making time to do this. For all the people out there who maybe don't know what Kickfin is, real quick, top level, what is this company you created?
Yeah, so, you know, as far as Kickfin goes, 90% of hospitality is using physical currency to manage their gratuities and pay out staff after each and every shift. 7 years ago, my co-founder and I stumbled across this problem. We wanted to make it really easy for operators to manage what is the most important time of each shift. That's when tips are paid to staff. So our software makes it really easy for operators to remove the burden of paying physical currency by managing their gratuities all within one system connected to their point of sale. And we process those tips instantly and directly to the employee's bank of choice. So we want to be the go-to platform when it comes to, you know, turning something from analog to digital. And we've had the good fortune of working with operators across every state and of all sizes. So it's been just an awesome journey over the past 7 years, bringing this product to market and educating people that there is a better alternative to managing their gratuity payments.
So that's the thing, right? A better alternative. So when I was first introduced to Kickfin, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, something like that, it dawned on me, or it was brought to light that somebody hit me over the head with it. There's basically only ever been two ways to pay out the service staff, yeah. Right? Either they get cash at the end of the shift, right? They look at your closeout report, and you look at how much you get paid, and the manager or the bartender pays you out cash, or all that gets put on your check. And I think there are pros and cons to either way. I never realized, and I'm sure many people out there didn't realize that there is another way that entire other industries. I mean, this is what basically the model that's easiest to point to is something like Uber, right? That Uber drivers get paid at the end of their shift, and it's not like Uber comes and pays them cash.
Yep.
It gets zipped into their account at the end of the shift. So they actually make what they make in real time, without sort of the hassle of having to juggle actual currency. Fair?
Very fair. And I would say, I mean, you know, looking back on this journey, you know, going back to kind of day one of field testing this idea, we looked at the technology stack that operators were, you know, leveraging, and, you know, Toast was coming to market, and your, you know, Shift4 and you know, Spot On and others with this cloud-based approach to point of sale. And going down that list, you'd see this very digital-first approach to managing their restaurant. And it was, you know, after a conversation, my co-founder and I, you know, working alongside your best friend and colleague for the past 15 some odd years, we did our last field test of the day, and we were sitting at this restaurant, you know, water bar in San Francisco, meeting with the manager and literally having him walk through the task that went into managing gratuities. And he said, guys, if you stick around for another 15 minutes, you're going to see an armored car deliver physical currency simply to tip out our staff. And it was so kind of that aha moment, because if you looked across the Embarcadero, you saw the Lyft and Uber signs that pay, you know, I'm going to pay your staff or pay you after each and every trip that you would get done. And to us, that was really, you know, the wow factor of what we could develop. But then the secondary piece, and probably the most exciting piece, is to be of service to hospitality. I mean, we're in this vertical and this space because we all just love the industry. We love experiencing with our family and friends. And so, you know, you look back and you're like, you know, the first couple of years, you know, you pay the dummy tax, right? You have to educate the market that there's this better alternative. But wow, what an experience it's been now seeing some of the best brands, the best operators really embrace this kind of last mile of digitizing, you know, this piece of their business. And that's just been, you know, the biggest, the biggest part of like the appreciation of where we've come, you know, 7 years ago today.
Yeah, it's amazing. So one of the things that, you know, I mentioned at the beginning, right, when I was welcoming you onto the show, as I said, you know, the best part about having anybody onto the show is that, and especially somebody who works in, you know, as a vendor on the product side,
yep,
you know, creating something that goes to help operators, as you get to talk to a lot of different operators. And you've now, you know, been launching and growing this company at a very odd time, not only for the world, but especially for our industry. And through the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, labor became really, really difficult.
Yep.
And just trying to lure people in, convince them not only to work at my restaurant instead of the restaurant down the street, but to come work at my restaurant instead of Starbucks or instead of Target or instead of going to do landscaping, which
yep.
There are tons of people that I worked with that that's what they did. They were like, oh, this is great. I make all this money in 6 months. And yeah, it's hard work. But, you know, then I get all this time off to see my family. Like, we lost people to entire other industries. And I think we had to convince people not only were we a better restaurant than the restaurant down the street, but that we were a better industry to work in. And so talk to me a little bit about that journey, because I know that's sort of really top of mind for what you're doing, what you're building, and the way you talk about this product. So talk to me about what employees want and what you're finding from employers, you know, and what they're doing to try to provide people with what they want.
Yeah, there was really two major developments and changes that happened kind of in that, you know, COVID piece all the way kind of, you know, the tail end of it, you know, 1 year, 2 years out of that. And it really focused on that two separate cohorts of the operator and the employee. And I'll focus specifically on the operator to start. When you think about what the changes that COVID and the impacts it had, it wasn't just on, okay, now we're just doing online ordering or delivery or what have you, we're eliminating in-store dining, but the manager's change in their daily work dramatically changed. I mean, you went from managers, you know, walking to the bank branch next to them, getting that bag of cash, where the bank teller was saying, hey, you know, we're shortening lines. We're going to charge you more to pick up physical currency.
Yes.
We don't want you handling physical currency right now through the fear of, you know, the COVID mystique and that what was going on. And so there was that very unique kind of moment in time where all their other tech stack remained exactly the same. Like it, how you used your point of sale, your online order and your schedule, you remained the same during that very chaotic time. But how tips were being managed was just a fundamental just shift in how they were dealing with it. It forced them to kind of say, hey, it's not an if, but a when kind of thing. And then from the employee's perspective, you know, employees had different expectations coming out of that. They were obviously wanted the instant reward and gratification of receiving their tips, but they wanted it in various different ways. They wanted to be able to close out in the point of sale and literally take their apron off and walk, you know, and be done. Whether that was 2 a.m. or on Christmas Day, they wanted the gratification of knowing that money was in their bank of choice. They could pay bills. They could buy that bus ticket. They weren't taking that cash back and paying it. But what also happened with gratuities is that being that that talent pool had slimmed down and those employees left to went other industries, the best operators took that opportunity to really completely overhaul what their tip policies were. They would do things like maybe create a tip point system or a tip pool system where back of the house could participate. And so what we saw operators really do was they went through and wanted to make the tip policy front and center because they knew that the W-2 wage was gonna stay as is. You know, what state are you in, what local market are you in, that's gonna stay as is. But if they really found a way to make it equitable, make it transparent, and help the employees understand by the little things that you do right now to create a very elevated experience for customers, you're going to flat out earn more. And so they started to use data and tip policies to basically point back to performance. And so I think there were some really good things that came out of that. I go back to topic one, change the way operations were done, change the way employees got paid. And then really the way that tip pools were managed and communicated. And from our perspective, I think that's only elevated and kind of as all boats started to rise, has only been better for the industry because it's now put a spotlight on performance expectations about, you know, service, which ultimately that's why you're loyal to certain concepts more than others.
And there was a... You know, our industry is sort of notorious for being, you know, why do we do it this way? I don't know. That's just the way we've always been doing it. And so I think this huge sort of climactic watershed moment going through the pandemic sort of forced us to ask why a lot more, right? When I look at so many restaurants, full service restaurants, were so top heavy with management pre-pandemic, and just how lean they are now, and that's out of necessity. I get it, but like looking at the way technology from, you know, kiosks and table ordering, you know, how much they've been instituted now, looking at things like apps and drive through and curbside. And I mean, look at McDonald's, look at the kind of the reinvention they've done just in 7 years since 2016, 2017 to the moment now, how they've reinvented themselves, to use a big sort of example there, you know, that everybody I think is familiar with. When you look at like what even, you know, an enormous company like that has been able to roll out as far as sort of new technology adoption and all that, that things are changing, and the way, you know, the way that we did things maybe wasn't necessarily the best way of doing things, or the way we did things isn't necessarily going to serve us moving forward. Talk briefly, if you can, about tip pools, right? So if we say, okay, there's a matter of like how people get paid, right? Right. They get cash at the end of the night, they get it on their paycheck, or this sort of in-between option, which Kickfin helps administer. Talk to me about the way that tips are divided up, because people sort of use this, to your point, what you were just saying, is they use this as an opportunity to rethink some of that. Yeah. And there's also tons of establishments out there that never really had tips. And we know this, there's tons of articles being written about it. There's now places everywhere are asking for tips or giving you the opportunity for a consumer to leave a tip. So there were places that never really had to think about it, and now they are thinking about it. So talk to me a little bit about, it's sort of a loaded question, but talk to me about your experience there and what you've seen.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you made the comment of we've always done it that way, right? And I think whether it's a gratuity management platform or various others, we on the technology side are realizing you have to make it ridiculously easy for operators to try before you buy. You have to make it almost like I want to flip a switch, try something out, see how it's received, and then move forward. And so we are maniacally focused on making sure that, you know, people, as they get into that routine internal record playing, this is how I've always done it, well, hey, why not give it a shot? Then when you get into that, there's really two phases that people go through. One, they look at their current tip pool and they, you know, they do an assessment based off of what they've always had. And it typically sits in an Excel spreadsheet. And that Excel spreadsheet sits on the side of the desktop, and they'll pull it up, they'll push the numbers in there. And they realize that, you know, it's very, very basic. Like it is a hour's work divided by total pool amount. And you get this very narrow kind of, not necessarily the most fair way to kind of distribute tips based off of the role sure. that people are doing. What we find is that as that evolution starts to occur, when you get into integrations with the point of sale, that's when tip pools really evolve. Because when they've had that Excel spreadsheet, managers or owners are always worried, like, what if you fat fingered something, or what if the tables within the Excel spreadsheet broke, or, you know, is this being done correctly? And that's why they kept them very, very standardized. But where the industry is going and what people are really doing is they're relying on the data between the point of sale and Kickfin doing those calculations as the system of truth. That removes that, you know, potential error of an employee at that manager at two in the morning in there trying to crunch numbers to get people out by 2:30. And so the tip pool is really now, or the tip share, or the points-based systems are now really starting to evolve, where the operator can really look at that tip pool of being a much more sophisticated way of like managing their tip pools, because they can put in guardrails through various points of the day to make sure that system to system are talking with one another. And if it's removing that kind of manual, you know, scared factor of people, you know, making human errors, they can make it more sophisticated, more equitable, and they can rely on the systems doing the work, spitting out the payments and processing the reports, where the accuracy level is through the roof. So I would say, again, kind of going back to one, you know, try before you buy, remove the physical cash. Two, understand what the Excel spreadsheet's doing, and three, moving into an integrated system where you can move back and say, hey, I'm not going to have managers in it every day. That's where the tip pools are really starting to evolve and change.
Yeah. What do you say, because I'm sure you hear this, and I'm sure you've heard this from operators, right, where an operator says, my staff likes cash every day. They're not going to go for this. They really want cash in their hands at the end of the night. I mean, how do you respond to that? I mean, if you're on the one side of the camp that says, you know, that we sort of see the light, but how do you help people see the light in that instance?
Yeah, I mean, that was the biggest, you know, question when we first started Kickfin, of like, you know, my employees love cash. And I think that's really gone by the wayside a lot more than what people have perceived. I mean, like, look at, you know, 95% of all transactions are done via credit card. We look at the vast majority of operators are, you know, leveraging their point of sale from a reporting perspective. So think about the payroll and what have you. And so employees' expectations are where in which they're working is not just in hospitality, but the gig economy, they're paying in digital. So that kind of myth of employees want cash, yes, there are certain markets that rely a little bit more, like they're maybe more apprehensive. But if you look at the trends, and not even us touting this, but look at MasterCard's, you know, data and the trends that they're talking about, it's very, very clear that the, you know, based off of generations are embracing and wanting more of a digital approach, instant now, I can do what I want with it. I mean, I can't imagine anybody walking out with $300 of cash that's now going to go to an ATM and put that in there, or sit, you know, underneath their pillow. Those days are just really done. And it's come both ways. It's the operators aren't allowing underreporting because it's on them. And the employee expectation is, I want it now. I would rather have it, you know, move on with my life than sit here and have to manage physical currency. And so I would say when it comes to our sales calls, as we listen in on those, like, the objection is really never on my employees want to be paid in cash. That's really those days are now done. Like, it's not what we're hearing anymore.
Pop Menu has reimagined the restaurant. They're breaking the mold of the menu, taking the kitchen doors off the hinges, and serving up their most comprehensive technology solution yet. It's called Pop Menu Max. It comes with all the previous ingredients that we've spoken about on this podcast, right? You've got websites designed with SEO in mind, marketing tools meant to keep you top of mind with guests, and of course, the patented interactive menu technology. But this new recipe brings automated phone answering and third-party online order aggregation and waitlisting and more all to the table. Pop Menu's phone answering technology has your ringing phones covered. With artificial intelligence, right? So AI, the simple questions that often keep your phone line tied up can now be handled by that computer without having to pull a staff member from your in-person hospitality. So no more missed reservations, no more people asking for your hours or missing revenue. That's just the beginning. You have a passion for food. Pop Menu has a passion for technology. Together, it's a recipe for restaurant success. And now, even more digital ingredients are in their technology pantry, and Pop Menu is helping restaurants attract, engage, remarket, and transact with their guests on a whole new level. Trust me, if you're a restaurant owner, you need Pop Menu to take your business to the next level. For a limited time only, get $100 off your first month, plus you lock in one unchanging monthly rate. Go to popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy to claim this offer. Again, that's $100 off your first month by visiting popmenu.com/restaurantstrategy. And yes, that link is in the show notes. And it's funny because I can remember, so two things come to mind, right? It's like one thing I can remember when I first started waiting tables in New York City, and I was really green, brand new, right off the bus. And the first couple nights you made like really good money, yep. And I'd be like nervous to go home. I'm like, I don't live in a bad neighborhood, but I don't know the city that much. And like, that was 9 hours, 10 hours of my life. That if somebody mugs me right now, I remember feeling that. The other thing is that I can remember going to, you know, bars because it was only too easy because I had a wad of cash. And going to a bar, going to a restaurant afterwards, and you're like, man, that was 10 hours of work and it was gone in 90 minutes. that in some weird way, this also helps sort of set better spending habits and all of that, which is going to help get more responsible, like employees, which is going to help the employer actually help set up the employee even better, which we don't talk about. It's not our job to like teach people like how to manage their money and all that, except that the more we do help them manage their money, the better off they're going to be, the more we're going to keep them here because their life is good when they're here. Does that make sense?
It does. And it always goes back to this two-sided market that we serve, the operator and the employee, right? You know, the biggest aha moment, especially for an operator that has more than one location. So think about it from their perspective, right? So they get this, they know that 80 to 90% of, you know, transactions are done in credit card, back into the 20% average tip amount. They're always in a cash deficit. So they bring this bag of money back on premise to basically sit in an analog safe with no transparency, the ability of skimming and theft, and zero reporting, right? So when you have an operator, you know, you ask, you know, help me understand or walk me through, their eyes light up because they start to realize like what that bag of cash was. And then, yeah, exactly to your point on the employee side, like there's the, you know, the challenges of I'm walking with cash, I'm worried about, you know, getting robbed. But similar to them, like if rent's due and all of a sudden they have an envelope of cash sitting on the dresser and it gets displaced, like they're dealing with those same burdens, like they're dealing with the same challenges. But if they know it's a clear and clean transaction, both from the operator and both to the employee, it's just becoming, you know, not more. And that's where I think from our team's perspective, what we are really motivated by now is this flywheel of people just saying, you know, it's not an if, it's a when. We want to try it out. There needs to be something at least better for us to compare against. Yeah. And once people at least try it, you're not going to have to, you never see people say, hey, I'm going to go back to those bank runs. Or you're going to see that employee say, you know what, at 2 a.m., I didn't mind going, you know, stuffing the ATM full of the cash that I wanted to see that deposit. The behavior has changed enough that we love to see that progression and just the ability to convert people. You know, we're not displacing another digital incumbent. We're displacing physical cash. And to us, that's like the most exciting time to be in the industry right now.
Yeah, listen, I got my mom to download Venmo last month. I got my father-in-law to use Uber for the first time about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Like the world's changing. They're in their 70s. And if I can get them to do that, which they swore they would never do, we can get other people to do things like this. And I think you're right. Obviously, I'm a convert. I think what you guys do is incredible. I think the problem it solves for both for these two sort of stakeholders that you're talking about, the employee and the employer, I think is without a doubt very, very obvious. I want to zoom back out a little bit. We'll probably zoom back in depending where this goes. But obviously, so much has changed over the course of you, again, launching and growing this company over the course of the pandemic. If we look in like a before and after situation, what do you think is the best thing that's happened to the industry, right? We can obviously look in and see all the bad stuff that happened, but now coming out the other end of the pandemic, what's the best thing that happened to our industry over the course of the last 4 years?
I mean, I think you've seen operators that were restaurateurs and you would think of, you know, menu preparation, table settings, guest experiences that were just unbelievable operators have become great technologists as well. I mean, you have to know and understand how to operate and vet vendors and create your own tech stack, because the industry has evolved in a way where, I mean, you look within these app ecosystems and these marketplaces that exist, and there's one of 10, right? One of 20, one of 30. And it takes a ton of, you know, willpower, being a student of your business, to understand that, yes, I can be great at the menu planning, the marketing, the recruiting, the guest experiences. Like, I can do that within this market that I'm serving. But the best thing I think that is forced operators, not maybe I should say forced, has nudged these restaurant operators to also be really good at understanding if I'm going to get the best performance out of my business, I also have to be really good at understanding what technology helps me become the most efficient. That's where the margin's going to be. That's where it moves the needle on, you know, staff performance and guest experience. And I would say if I was going to pinpoint one thing, I would say, like, it's just really cool to see, you know, some of the best operators come out of this and really stay really focused on running their business, you know, from a profitability perspective and how to get there and how to leverage technology to do so.
Yeah. All right. So then let me talk about the flip side then. What, obviously there's a lot, you know, there were a lot of dark days over the course of the pandemic in the last 4 years, but what would you say is sort of the worst thing that's come out of this? Have we slipped back? Have we slipped into bad patterns? Again, in a before and after context.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I would say, and this ties into gratuities, I think if you look at the QSR market and the fast casual, those specific kind of verticals have really taken off, right? I want to, you know, due to inflation, I want low costs of a meal. If I'm going to take my family out, I don't mind getting a couple burritos and quesadillas and calling it a day for $50, right? It's kind of where we've gone to due to, you know, how expensive things are. I would say some of the challenges, and you've seen, you know, the recent bankruptcies with the Red Lobsters and others, the full service space, I think, has suffered. The guest experience of, like, I'm going to sit down and take my family out and pay a premium for a meal because I not only want, you know, a great tasting, you know, meal to have, but I also want awesome experience. I want to spend an hour plus with family talking over the table without an iPad or a cell phone going back and forth. And I think what unfortunately has happened is that's kind of pulled the rug underneath a lot of people who are just kind of staying status quo. Like, we can operate in this environment, we can get good food costs, and we can kind of stay at a certain level. But what I think has really happened is shine the spotlight into that full service, that guest experience. And now you're seeing things that are coming out, like, you know, the pickleball stuff, the Top Golfs, the Big Shots, and others, where you're now seeing some new concepts kind of come out of that. So with every kind of bad shortcoming, there's always, you know, great entrepreneurs and operators that see opportunity in that and go a different direction. But again, it's devastating. You know, growing up in rural Minnesota, I look at, you know, the Red Lobsters of the world, where that was a treat beyond belief. And some of those concepts have gone under. So I think, you know, from our perspective and talking with people in the industry, you know, those are sad days. You know, some of your best, most iconic brands have failed because of just maybe poor operational best practices, you know, not thinking ahead of the game about, you know, cost and guest experience, and therefore, you know, are no longer with us.
Yeah, for sure. To give some context for the listeners here, because you guys are working with a ton of different restaurants all over the country, and I know from small to big, but who are some names that, you know, companies who are leveraging your technology, if you can share some of them, just to give people a sense of, like the people already using it. I think that would help greatly.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at, like, a company that really embodies unbelievable culture, I think of a Client Walk-Ons, right? You know, you see the back office of the rally call, you know, banging the table, getting ready to go out and serve, you know, the Marco's Pizzas of the world. But I would say, like, one of the most recent ones we're most proud of would be Bar Louie, right? They're a great brand, full service concept. They really approach digital tipping we want to understand what the impacts are going to be for the operations team and the employees. We want to give Kickfin a shot. We don't want to integrate with any systems. We literally just want to deploy this, eliminate physical currency from the equation, and just see how it functions in the so-called the contained environment within our business. And we were lucky enough to be awarded the opportunity to go company-wide with them. And at their recent convention, we're awarded a Vendor of the Year award, which was a huge accomplishment from our perspective, because we went from the pilot, try before you buy, Kickfin unintegrated, does this work from an operations perspective and employee perspective? And then that last piece of it, we want you guys to integrate with our point of sale. We want you to be the system of truth, where we can really rely on you guys to manage the gratuities, to send the payments, to provide the reporting. And from our perspective, like, that's just an awesome use case because you can really point to the ROI from a hard dollar perspective. This isn't the warm and fuzzy, like, oh, this is nice to have, but we're saving, you know, managers 3 hours a day. Employees are getting off the clock quicker. Employees are, you know, much more pleased because they have visibility and transparency in these tip calculations that they never had before. And so there was a lot of green lights flashing with them that from our perspective was just a great win.
Yeah, I love it. Justin, I've loved this conversation. I appreciate you sharing the insights and sort of letting us peek behind the curtain as you get to do. I got 5 questions I ask anybody, everybody who's appeared on the show. Are you cool to answer my 5 questions?
Fire away.
They're very easy. First one, what's the last great meal you had?
Boy, Chip, you're nailing me right away. I would say Minnesota State Fair. It's my favorite place to visit in the summertime. Corn dog, fried Twinkies, and a bucket of fries. So it's my happy place. Minnesota State Fair, ultimate hospitality experience.
I love it. You guys do it different in the Midwest out there. I just took my son yesterday for his 9th birthday to go to the New Jersey State Fair, which was great. Corn dogs, okay. Fried Twinkies, all that stuff. But it's different, not quite at the level that that you guys do in the Midwest,
absolutely.
I'm sure. But still, we had a great time. All right, second question. What's the last great hospitality touch you've had? Meaning, an instance where somebody went above and beyond, made you stop and go like, whoa, that was something, made you sort of pay attention. So a great hospitality touch.
Yeah, one of my favorite restaurants in San Francisco is Hillstone, and it's right on the Embarcadero. And they nail it with no matter how long since I've been there, they greet you by your name. They ask about your family. They understand the table that you like to sit at. They understand who you're with and just kind of a general assumption. You're with a buddy, you're high-fiving and you're walking in. Okay, you know, like a little bit more chit-chat. Or when they see you a little bit more dressed up, you're going to sit down. There's probably a notepad or two on the table. More professional, a little bit more time between, you know, questions because they know you need to, you know, get caught up. I would say, and that was just a week ago, and again, blown away at just the level of like, you know, relatability and their desire to always kind of make every experience kind of feel like, hey, you're a good friend coming back.
Yeah, I love it. All right, genie question. Third question. If a genie came down and granted you one wish as it relates to our industry, what are you wishing for?
One wish. I would say more opportunities to collaborate. We are lucky enough to participate in your event coming up here. People are busy. It would be nice to put the pause button on the table a little bit more often. This is a group of people who are collaborative. They love to share information. They just don't have the time. My wish is that more operators could just take a step away from their daily activities, whether it's fly to event or just to meet up within their local communities. Just give more operators in hospitality a little bit more of their time back to kind of take a breath. Where am I at from a business perspective? How do I talk and share ideas with others? From my perspective, I just think they're hardest working people out of any industry. I would love just to give them, poof, magic wand, you know, a couple hours a week just to take a breath, look around, and whether it's work on their business or just time away for a little bit, it would be great to just give more time back.
It's literally what I do for a living. All right. Fourth question. What would you tell someone who's about to open their very first restaurant?
You better have work ethic unlike any other. You know, people that go into this industry across the board just seem to have a grit and a work ethic unlike many others. And I would say, you know, those that are willing to put in the time to also constantly be a student of their work and their business, you're gonna work out. But if you're looking to punch a clock and once you walk out of the door, you leave the job behind, don't even start it. This is a 24/7, 365 labor of love. And those that give it their all in the pursuit of hospitality are rewarded handsomely. But it's by no means a 9-to-5 punch in and out.
Yeah, love it. All right, last one. Tell me about the future of restaurants. I want you to look 5 years down the line and tell me something you think is coming that other people may not see coming.
Boy, maybe another magic wand question that I definitely don't have the answer for. There's obviously the design concepts of the new Taco Bells and the other, you know, the fascinating Jetsons look-like experiences that are just unbelievably yes. cool with drone delivery and all that. I still think hospitality across every industry that we're a part of, whether it's the new AI technology, what have you, hospitality will always anchor us into a personal connection. So I think you're going to see very unique extremes happening in hospitality where the middle will probably fall out. You're going to have the instant delivery, instant experience, robotic machinery and all that, which is nice due to convenience. And then I think on the absolute other side, you're going to see some of the best brands really figure out ways how to get people out of their computer work, out of the Zoom things, and get people in person because they're going to pay more for experiences. I don't think those personal interactions will ever go away. So I think looking out into the future, you're going to see more of an extreme, but you're going to anchor into very much technology focused and very much personal, like hospitality. I'm there and I love the experience because I love being around people.
Justin, I could not agree more. I've gone on the record numerous times on this podcast saying something very, very similar. I think we're going to watch something really crazy happen over the next 5 years. And I think if people aren't aware of it, they are going to be very, very surprised. But yes, I agree. I think that's coming. Justin, I appreciate you taking time to sit and chat with me. Last words here for the audience. Where can people go to learn more about Kickfin?
Yeah, the best way to find us is on our brand new website, as a matter of fact, kickfin.com. Go on, look through some of the sections. Again, I want to emphasize of service to the industry, whether you select Kickfin or go any other options that are out there, our main focus is to educate, give people alternatives. The website has, you know, great sections where they can, you know, a call to action. I want to understand integrations. I want to understand pricing. We'll be sure to get back to you at kickfin.com.
Excellent. Listen, I appreciate it. Always great to connect with you. And I look forward to seeing you in St. Louis.
Be well.
Once again, I want to thank Justin for taking time out of his day to sit here and share what he has learned over his last many, many years in this industry. I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your day to be here and to listen to these conversations. I hope you get some value out of this show. One final reminder, I haven't asked this in a little while, but if you get value from this show, if you are a steady listener, if you like this show, then please do me a favor, leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. That is one of the best ways to help us continue to grow this audience, to grow the sort of the notoriety of this podcast. That more than anything else would help me. I'm not asking you to do something you won't already do. If you like it, if you get something out of this show, then just go let people know what you get out of the show and why they should listen to the show. Thanks again, guys, and I will see you next time.